Business on Board with Kerry Herford-Jones.
Welcome to a Business on Board special live with me, Kerry Herford-Jones. For this edition, I get to meet up with some of the people who make Loch Boisdale and its marina in the Outer Hebrides so special. If you've never visited the area, then hopefully this episode will give you some encouragement to do so. The Outer Hebrides are simply one of the most amazing island groups in the world. And here they are, just 15 miles off the Isle of Skye. And Loch Boisdale itself is an excellent arrival point in order to explore the 120 miles of this island chain. In this episode, you'll hear from the marina manager, Donald Curry, telling me about the experience boat owners will enjoy. And then I was able to track down the chairman, Callum McMillan, who provided an excellent overview of the whole community setup in this fascinating part of the world. First up, though, I'd like to introduce you to Lauren, Adam, and their four-legged friend, Freddie, who, on their boat Phoenix, met up with my wife Carol and myself on our boat Wakonda in Loch Boisdale in the summer of 2022. I asked Carol for her first impressions of the place.
It's an amazing place to be. When you come into a marina, it's not just about what you can see, but also about how you feel. And if you feel happy and comfortable and safe in a marina, and you can rely on the staff, that's a really great thing.
We've spoken to people that have done the crossing to the Hebrides that painted this picture in my mind, which was completely different to how it was.
You were quite anxious about the crossing.
I was anxious about it, but because of what I heard stories from other people, when actually it wasn't anything like that for us on that day.
Let's talk a little bit more about Loch Boisdale, because it is where we are at the moment. We've been talking about some of the facilities. Carol, just give us your summation of some of the things people should be aware of if they're coming to Loch Boisdale for a few days.
So one of the lovely things about Loch Boisdale is you're able to witness how life is like for the islanders here. So you're not going to walk for 1 minute and find a whole host of every shop you can think of in one place, but that's its charm. There's a really well-sourced co-op that's about a 3 mile walk, but also on a really convenient bus route. And then there's a little post office, which is a short walk. There's a gift shop, a little takeaway as well. But we really love the fact that when you come here, you see what life is like as the community here live it. You can't just go and buy what you like. And I think that makes a refreshing change. Lauren mentioned just now, but you know, just coming along that stretch of water, you just think, oh my goodness, we're doing this. We're actually doing this. And when we come in to Loch Boisdale, we came here from Canna, one of the small islands. And when we came in, there's a chap called Gary who works in the marina, great big smile, chatting away, told us where everything was, all the facilities. And then a little bit later that day, Donald came past the boat, and he's the marina manager, and he came past the boat and was just sort of chatting. And you don't actually experience that in many marinas, to just have people that decide they'll just come down and check you're all right. So yeah, it's a special place. And a really, really super marina.
I think it's got under our skins a little bit, guys, isn't it?
I know, it's starting to grow roots, I think. We better, it's time to move on, I think.
We'll always look back on this in years to come and go, do you remember that time we were stormbound in South Uist, in the Outer Hebrides? Oh. The weather has been a little bit changeable at times. The wind does whistle on through. But you mentioned this earlier, it really is so safe, so secure here, isn't it?
I think looking on a map and looking at the forecast and how the wind, you know, you go and predict wind and it's just red and black all where we've been, you think, oh my goodness, am I really going to be in the Outer Hebrides in that weather? Yes, we are. And have we been absolutely fine? And it just shows you that there are nooks and crannies all around the West Coast and the Hebrides that can find safety, and not to let the weather put you off. It's just about planning and timing. Just to say to people, when you look at the chart, don't be frightened about the big crossing over to the Hebrides. Just make sure the weather is right and has been right for a few days, so the conditions are calm and that you're comfortable in the conditions, and make sure that you've got everything that you need on board. But just not to be frightened to go for it, because the reward is worth it. So I'm so pleased that we're here, and you really get a sense of adventure when you've arrived. So if you're thinking about it, go for it.
Nice.
Adam? For me, it has to be the beaches and the wildlife. white sandy beaches, crystal clear blue water, dolphins, eagles. Oh, that to me is heaven.
Brilliant. Carol?
I'm going to take away from Loch Boisdale the same as I tried to take away from everywhere else that we sail. That's lots of memories, so that one day when we can't do what we're doing, when I'm sat at whatever age I'm privileged to get to, I've got some cracking memories.
And for me, it's all of those things, but it will always hold a special place in my heart because, as Carol mentioned earlier, but for me it's the same. We made this happen. We did this. We came here. We've experienced it. And when we leave here, I will just always remember it. You know, it's going to hold close to my head and my heart that actually we made a trip out to somewhere as magical, as special as this. So, nice one. That's a wrap. I think we're time to put the kettle on, probably. And should we have another slice of cake?
Oh, we've eaten it all.
Oh, damn.
And the ice cream.
Time for a beer, then. Yeah. And after all that fun and games, it's time now to meet up with the marina manager of Loch Boisdale, Donald Curry. First of all, I asked him if he would say a few words of welcome in his native Gaelic.
Fáilte go caill Loch Boisdale. Welcome to Loch Boisdale Harbour and have a good experience.
How long have you been harbour master here?
I've been managing the port since we opened in 2015 with a couple of other guys for a number of years.
Now, you've welcomed a lot of visitors in that time from all walks of life and all sorts of boats. It must be quite a rewarding and challenging position that you hold.
It is rewarding. You meet a lot of interesting people from all over the world, really, all over the EU. And it's challenging at times because some of the sailors may not be quite familiar with the vessels they're sailing, particularly the ones that come across here for the first time and not aware of the challenging weather conditions that we have at times in the Hebrides.
I think challenge is a great word, but it's equally so, it's very rewarding. If you make the effort to come here, there's a lot of rewards to be had, aren't there?
There is. I mean, it's the jewel in the crown as far as sailing is concerned. The Hebrides has got to be way up there. I get this type of feedback all the time. Beautiful scenery, the wildlife, crystal clear water, lovely, nice and clean, no pollution, so it's definitely one of the best places to sail, if not in the UK, certainly maybe around the world.
Yeah, you're sounding a bit biased there.
No, I wouldn't say that. Obviously a local man myself, but no, it's the feedback we get from the sailors and the motorboaters who turn up here. It's certainly up there amongst the best.
And you can accommodate a lot of different vessels here, can't you? A lot of different sizes and drafts, because you're at 24-hour access.
Yeah, we not only do leisure, we do local fishing. We have local fishing boats here. We also have aquaculture going on in the area. There's three fish farm sites just outside Loch Boisdale. We have a fair bit of commercial activity which supports the harbour.
And that is being part of the community. It is being the community, because before this was here, you weren't attracting this kind of leisure activity, were you?
No, you need the facilities. The facilities were just weren't here. And you're right, it's a community-owned harbour. The island is community-owned, and therefore it's good for the local infrastructure.
Yeah, and let's face it, once you're here, there's an awful lot to see, an awful lot to do. Let's just talk, first of all, though, with the facilities here at the marina itself. What can a visiting yachtsman or motorboat owner expect when they get here, Donald?
Essentially, in this a sheltered harbour, which is a safe haven, which a lot of people are looking for, as the weather can be unpredictable. We can berth up to 50 vessels on the pontoons, and we have an 80-metre quayside. Should we have larger boats, larger sailing boats or whatever, we could raft them up on there. We've got excellent toilet shower facilities. We've got Wi-Fi available. We have laundry facilities available. And little buses locally in the village which can take you for a drive around the Uist.
Let's also just talk briefly about the fact that you've got fuel and service facilities here. So if people need some work doing to their boats, they need a lift out or they need fuel, that's all available on site as well?
Yes, we have installed a fuel facility, two delivery pumps, one delivers 80 litres per minute and another one up to 180 litres for the larger commercial vessels, which is an attraction for them. We have a slipway and a 20-tonne wise hoist, so we can lift vessels up to 20 tonne There is mechanical facilities available for repairs. There's boat storage, boat repairs, and winter storage for vessels should they want to winter in Lough Boyestal over the winter.
And of course, we've got literally out of your window, you can see the ferry terminal as well.
Yeah, there's a ferry terminal around, adjacent to us here, and there's a sailing from Lough Boyestal to Mallaig. Three days a week, there's two sailings. On the other days, there's one sailing. We control the narrow channel between and the entrance to the roller berth, so we have traffic lights and we monitor it, but only in the busier summer season when there's visitors around that are unfamiliar with the procedures for entering or leaving the harbour.
When you've got the Calmac coming in and going out, you've got to keep out of his way.
Yeah, it's quite a narrow channel and they have to maintain quite a reasonable speed, 8 to 10 knots, and obviously a little leisure boat going out in front of them at the low tide at right angles to them, the ferry can't stop. So we manage that side of it for safety for all users of the harbour.
Fishing, you mentioned there earlier, it was huge around here, but it's still very much part of the ongoing community. There are people still going out of here and fishing.
Oh yeah, it's not as huge as it used to be back in the time when there was herring around here, but now it's predominantly shellfish fishing, and in the winter months, fishermen tend to fish around the Minch on the east side of the islands, and in the summer, most of them tend to move to the west side and fish for lobster. The lobster catches are reasonably well out there on the west side. It polices itself. They can only fish there for 4 or 5 months of the year, so the stock conservation is maintained as a result of the weather conditions, and winter you just can't go out there.
Yeah, that's the bottom line, isn't it? Yeah. And what about yourself? Are you a sailor or a motorboater?
I come from a fishing family, really, so it's motorboating. Haven't done much sailing, a little bit at school, that was about the height of it. Don't seem to have the time. I would like to someday get into it. I have a few boats of my own, but just getting the time to do it.
I get that completely. A final word then, it's all about teamwork at this harbour. We've experienced that since we've been here. You've got yourself, you've got your team. Just talk us a little bit about the people that make this work here.
On the ground, it's myself and my colleague Gary here. We have the support of the CEO and the board. We bring in casual workers if we find that we're overwhelmed with work. But generally, we have a rota system. Between myself and Gary, we manage to run the port. Particularly, it's obviously much more busy in the summer, so in the winter, there's less activity and it's far easier to manage. But it's mostly down to health and safety. There's a lot to do with it, and that's what we have to keep our eye on.
Not much time for putting your feet up then, Donald.
No, I tend to work fairly long hours. It's generally a 12-hour day, sometimes eight, nine days a week.
Yeah. I'd just like to say on behalf of many of the berth holders I've been talking to since we've been here, how impressed we have been by the cleanliness of facilities, the ease of use, and as you mentioned a couple of times, the safe haven that is Lough Boyestal Harbour. It's absolutely a credit to you and your team to maintain it the way you do. So we'd like to say thank you to you as well.
Well, thank you, Kerry. Very much appreciated, and we'll continue to do our best.
It was great meeting up with Donald there from Lough Boyestal Marina. I was then able to get hold of Callum McMillan. He and I got talking about how big a magnet for sailors and cruisers this area of Western Scotland actually is. It's often referred to as one of the best cruising grounds in the world. I suggested that was quite an accolade to live up to.
Sailing ships need wind. And we have wind and plenty, which is moderate, and by and large from the southwesterly, which you can have a beam coming across the Minch, and if you have a safe place of haven, there is a place here for you.
This doesn't happen by itself. This is a huge community effort to make what is here today happen, and you're looking to the future a lot as well, aren't you?
Indeed, and hopefully Lough Boyestal will be a thriving port long after I am dust, and that other people will come forward and try and progress the work, attract people in, attract investment, whether that's wind power, oil and gas, or any other industry that provides employment. It's all welcome here.
As I said, these things don't happen by themselves. It requires a lot of people coming together. And this is about the community of South Uist coming together to make this happen, isn't it?
It is, and what we have is a community-owned area, and what we have to do is self-realise the opportunities. We can't define the future, but we can take opportunities of the future as they are presented to us and always be open for opportunity and development and continued income, employment and people living here for times and opportunities that we shall not see. And to quote, we do our best for the people we see today, we do our best for the people we have yet to see, and we do our best for the people we shall not see, because our time will be done by the time they are. So if that's not too much of a philosophy, that we look toward the future and provisioning towards the future, then that is where we have to do it. And if we can develop that with the national ferry companies, the national government, the local authority, the enterprise company, and commercial enterprises locally, then we have every chance, and not forgetting any larger multinational companies that will be needed, because you're looking at huge, heavy lifting of technology and facilities and industrial complexes which will come from the wind, and it's all compatible with living here and what we have just now.
And without becoming the tourist information centre for South Uist, there is a lot of history here. There's an awful lot to see and experience. And there's a lot of trade that's been going on here for millennia, isn't there?
Yes. My family has been here since the ice left. And the people survived and to an extent thrived here by trade. First of all, with Iceland, with Ireland, Bristol, where you had people from the Mediterranean, northern Spain coming across, so that it was a nodal and linking point to places north and east from the Norse time, which was quite recent. And then you had the Lordship of the Isles, and then the Scottish influences, and then the UK as it became, or Great Britain as it was. So that there's a lot of history here, and which we hope will continue when we have the realisation of our place in the world.
Because that place in the world is really important, and I think the impression I've had from being here amongst the community in a relatively short space of time is there's a real sense of individual pride, but in many ways that comes across as the way of the adoption of the Gaelic language. That seems to be part of your DNA as an island race.
It is, and when you look at the other part that people forget is that Christianity has been here since the 2nd century and it has continued since then. So people are quite relaxed about the novelties that come our way in what you might call the last 5 years, the last 30 years, 300 years, because our novelty was pretty much 2,000 years ago. And when you look at what was here before, it's not that different from the novelty of 2,000 years ago.
That's quite a legacy, but it is, as we've talked already about, Callum, about looking to the future. And I think your dad had a good way of putting that across, didn't he?
He did. He always said that we look to the future in the same way that we row. We look and assume that everything in the future will be based on what we've seen in the past. But not necessarily if you're looking towards, in a river, going towards a waterfall. You can't see it because you haven't seen a waterfall before. And what we have to do is figure out if there's waterfalls in the future. Rapids we can probably cope with, but waterfalls are a bit different. And if you're going into tidal streams for yachties, then the chart helps. But the chart is based on what we have seen in the past. There may be rocks there which are uncharted. And what we have to do is try and figure out ways of avoiding the uncharted rocks and find a way around them. And that's where we have to look at in terms of doing all of this.
That's a pretty strong philosophy, and I love the sound of that. And I think a lot of people listening to this podcast today will be able to relate to that in life generally, not just here in the Outer Hebrides. What does it mean to you to lead an organisation as the one that you're leading today? What does that mean to you personally, Callum?
What I'm doing is trying to facilitate the other directors in the on the board of Loch Boisdell Development to have their voice. I don't have the monopoly on good ideas. I wish I did. But if we have a board who can come in and then we can work with professionals, and we recently had the Loch Boisdell Development had a discussion with CIMAL and the Scottish Government as the ferry provider and transport provision. And looking round the table, there were more degrees than a thermometer sitting round that table, but we didn't have any of them. So what we are is what you might call untrained, enthusiastic amateurs, but we have to rely on the professionals and their advice. And we have to give these people their voice, the other directors their voice, and also the peer users, the local people, and anyone who comes across. We have to listen to see if we can learn. And there was a comic many years ago called Look and Learn, but we've adapted that to Listen and Learn.
A very, very sound philosophy indeed. We're almost reaching the end of today's podcast, and you've mentioned there already about the professionals coming to the island, looking at opportunities here, the development of the ferry terminal here, right next to us where we're having the interview today. Exciting stuff. It really is a time for change in some ways, but holding close and tight to the past. It's quite a difficult balancing act to maintain sometimes, I would imagine.
It is, and I think it was Li Su, the first Qin administrator, who said, "May you live in interesting times." And without wishing to damn ourselves in the future, we look forward to interesting times and the provision we can make for the future.
Callum, absolute joy talking to you today. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for making us so welcome here on the island.
A pleasure, and may you come back. That's one of our greetings of farewell. May you come back.
We will. Thank you, Callum.
Thank you to all my guests here today in the Outer Hebrides. As you've heard, this is an outstanding and beautiful area to visit, made even more special by the people who live and work here. My personal recommendation? Make the time and effort to come here if you can. You won't regret it for a moment. Join me again soon for more episodes as I meet more of the people who make a real contribution to anyone who gets out on the water and has the fun that that brings with it.
Business on Board with Kerry Herford-Jones.